الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers in Islam, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In Al-Mu'jamul Kabir, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. Wherever you are, send salat upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي. For indeed your salat, that recitation of salat ala nabi, reaches me. Subhanallah. So when we know this, that our salat most definitely reaches the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then why is there delay? Why do we show laziness in this regard? Why are we not showing eagerness? That is the question. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to recite Salat ala Nabi in abundance. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. A believer's intention is better than his action. With this hadith in mind, let us make some good intentions prior to listening to the bayan. Whenever we come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whenever we have an opportunity for the viewers of Madin Channel to listen to sacred knowledge, then our first and foremost intention should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we can make various intentions. Ya Allah, this knowledge that I'm obtaining, acquiring, Ya Allah, grant me tawfiq to remember this knowledge. Ya Allah, give me the ability to act upon this knowledge. And subhanallah, the best surah, the best case would be for you to remember it, you to act upon it yourself, and then spread that knowledge to others as well, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to make good intentions prior to permissible deeds. Inshallah, in today's speech, we are going to hear about the rights of creation. Huququl ibad. The rights of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know, you have huququllah, rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we all must fulfill anyway. The faraid, the obligatory acts, salah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, giving zakat if it's fard upon us, performing hajj if we meet the threshold. But there are other rights as well. These are the rights of Allah, saving yourself from sin, acting upon the commands. Then you have another category, which is referred to as huququl ibad, the rights of the people. And the ulama state that the rights of the people, in one sense, in one aspect, have significance, more significance. And what is that? If you do not fulfill the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are negligent in this regard, then what will happen? Allah ta'ala can punish you, or if you repent, He will forgive you. This is the case. Whereas with people, if you wronged someone, if you have not fulfilled the right of someone, you violated the rights of someone, then until that person forgives you, Allah Ta'ala will not forgive you. You may do tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will say that, Ya Allah, I wronged so and so, I took money of them, I never gave it back. Ya Allah, I was violent towards so and so, I physically beat so and so. Ma'ad Allah, na'udhu billah min dhalik. Ya Allah, forgive me. But remember, because this haq, this right was related to an abd, a person, you have to seek forgiveness from the person. And it's up to the person whether he forgives you or not. There are so many warnings that on the day of judgment, that when a person asks for his right, a person who had violated the right will be ordered to give his good deeds over to the other person whose right he has violated. And if his good deeds make up for that violated right, so be it. If not, then what will happen? The sins of the person who was wronged will be placed onto the shoulders of the one who violated the right. This is a very sensitive matter, dear brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani Channel. حقوق العباد. Listen to a very profound hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam asked the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, Manil muflis? Who is the destitute one amongst us? Who is the poor one amongst us? And the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in replied in a similar manner to us, the way we would reply. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the poor one is he who has no dirham, nor any other worldly possessions. That's what we would reply with as well. And who is the poor one? We would say the poor one is the one who hasn't got much money. He doesn't have worldly possessions. He is poor. But listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith is in Sahih Muslim, the poor person from my ummah is the one who will come on the day of judgment with salah. He would have performed salah. He would have fasted. He would have given zakah in the world, zakat. But despite doing these things, despite praying, despite fasting, despite giving zakat, his situation will be such that he will have hurled abuse at others. He would have made false accusations against some. He would have unlawfully consumed the wealth of people, shed the blood of others, struck others, and his good deeds will be taken in exchange of these sins that he carried out in the dunya. And if his good deeds fall short, and there are more people who are rightful of his good deeds, then the sins of the oppressed will be placed in his account and he will be thrown into the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. The Bazahir, he seems like a very pious person. Namazi, he performs salah. He gives zakat. He fasts. But he swore at someone. He abused someone. He hit someone. He unlawfully took the wealth of someone. That is the person that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the day of judgment will be the poor person from my ummah, the muflis. And today we are unaware of this. Today we think that if he doesn't have wealth, he's poor. If he has 10 cars parked in his driveway, he's rich, he's wealthy. If he has a spacious house, mansion, he's wealthy. He must be accepted in the court of Allah. What are we told? No, that's not the case. That the one who is poor in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who could have all the luxuries of the world, but he wronged others. He took the rights of others. He could have devoted a lot of time for worship, but he wronged others. And this is something that we need to think about very carefully. May it not be the case that we frequently visit the masjid, but at the same time we wrong others. We frequently give charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, our sins are continuous as well. May not be the case that we fast every week, but alongside fasting, we also wrong others. Because we need to do the first thing and not the second thing. We need to only be fasting, not sinning. We need to only be performing salah, not taking rights of others. We need to only be giving in charity, zakat, and not hurting others. So now, dear brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani Channel, you may have understood how sensitive this matter of hukukul ibad is. That unless that person forgives you, you will not be forgiven. Allah Ta'ala has given this authority to the abd, the slave, that if he's been wronged, he has a right to ask for his right to be fulfilled. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Anis rahmatullahi alayhi states, and this is in Akhlaqus Salihin, Allah Almighty will announce on the Day of Judgment, no dweller of paradise will enter paradise, and no dweller of hellfire will enter hellfire until he pays back the rights of others. I.e. the one who violated the rights of others will not enter paradise or hell until the dispute is settled. So this is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Rights will have to be given. So the wise person is he who thinks on the Day of Judgment, Anbiya alayhimus salam will be there, the noble prophets, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in will be there, Awliya'i Kamilin rahimahumullahu al-mubin will be there, my parents will be there, my siblings will be there, my relatives will be there, my cousins will be there. And if I'm taken to task on the Day of Judgment because of not fulfilling someone's right, what greater humiliation is there than this? What greater disgrace is there than this? So, the wise person realizes and he thinks that to save myself from that disgrace on the Day of Judgment, what I will do is if I have wronged anyone. I'm an insan, it can happen. We're not sinless. Only the Anbiya alayhi salam are ma'soom and the angels. And we may fall into sin. But the wise person thinks to himself that if I do, then I better make sure that I seek forgiveness from that person in the dunya so that I'm saved in the akhirah. Listen to another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three people will not enter paradise. This hadith is in Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat of Imam Tabarani. Three people. We're talking about hukuk, rights. And from the relations that we have, you could argue that the greatest right upon us is the right of parents. The parents have a great right upon us. Are we fulfilling those rights? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, three people will not enter paradise. Number one, the one who aggrieves his parents, makes his parents sad, makes them suffer from grief. Number two, a dayyus. And the third thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the third person, or types of people who will not enter Jannah, a woman who imitates a man. And let's be honest with you, all of these three things that were mentioned are taking place in today's day and age. They're prevalent. They're widespread. Parents are being treated like they're nothing. They're being harmed. They're being even abused violently. Yes, stories are appearing every single day. In fact, one person revealed to me that he worked at a hospital and a patient came to the hospital who was in a very, very bad state. Let's just say that. He was hurt. He was, you could see visibly that he had been physically abused, violently abused. And this person revealed to me that he overheard people speaking to this elderly man saying, do you want to press charges against your son? I'll say that again. Do you want to press charges against your son? Meaning, this is happening in our communities. Ma'azallah, sons are abusing their fathers. And this was the case of a Muslim. This was a Muslim father who had been hospitalized because of his own son. But this is happening. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied. He said that there will come a time where people will give tarjih, priority to their friends over their parents. And this is also happening. Meaning if your friend only has to message you once, send one text message, one WhatsApp message, and you're there. So don't worry, bro, I'm there. 2 minutes. Your mother is calling you 10 times, and a person may be thinking, oh, what does she want now? No, she's always going on. Ma'adallah. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who aggrieves his parents will not enter Jannah. So parents have a great right upon us. They have so many huquq upon us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the mother and said in one hadith, when a sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, I wish to strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have come to you for advice. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? Is your mother alive? And the sahabi said, yes, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my mother is alive. And the Prophet alayhi salam said, فَالْزَمْهَا, make it necessary upon yourself to serve her. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ رِجْلَيْهَا. Why? Because Jannah, paradise, lies beneath her feet. Sometimes we want to achieve great things, great heights. We should have aspirations. But are we fulfilling these duties that Islam has obligated upon us? How is our relationship with our parents? And the scholars of Islam have said, those people who you interact with regularly, like your parents, like your siblings, like your spouse, you should have a very strong relationship with them, and your good akhlaq, your good conduct towards them should be evident daily. What happens is when we go out of our house, we meet a friend after a while, we're all smiles, how are you brother, we meet him warmly, and we express, you know, happiness, joy, we show great akhlaq. When we enter the home, our mother, our father, spouse, children, we barely even say hello to them. Obviously, the Islamic way is when you enter your home, you give salam. But here's the real test. How is your relationship like with your own family members? They have rights upon you, and you may be taken to task for not fulfilling those rights. So when this sahabi asked, I want to strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ said, is your mother alive? He said, yes. Rasulullah ﷺ advised him and said, go and serve her, because Jannah lies beneath her feet. This is enough for you. And as for the father, we know the father is the door of Jannah for a person. And in one hadith, we're told that your parents are your Jannah or your Jahannam. Meaning if you treat them well, you serve them, they're happy with you, you will enter Jannah, inshallah. But if your parents leave the dunya in a state that they're displeased with you, you violated their rights, then Jahannam will be ordained. So this is what we need to bear in mind. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest example for all of us. There is no better example for a Muslim. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That verily in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a perfect example for you. It's a beautiful example for you. And when we look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, not only did he treat his blood relatives well, his mother, obviously his father passed away before he was born, his uncles, his cousins, the Prophet ﷺ treated all those people who had any sort of association with him in a very beautiful manner. And let me give you some examples, inshallah. Sayyidina Abu Tufail radiyallahu ta'ala states, a woman approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He spread out his cloak for her, and she sat on it. The sahabi, he asked, said, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is she? Who is this woman? And the people replied, this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's foster mother. This is the woman who had, when he was a young child, looked after him. She had nursed him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forget that. The Prophet alaihi wasallam laid out his cloak for her. And there's so many examples like this. One particular example is regarding Sayyidatuna Halima Sa'diya radiyallahu anha, who we know played a pivotal role in the early period of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. She looked after him for many years. And regarding her, it's also narrated that once Sayyidatuna Halima Sa'diya radiyallahu anha came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she complained of a drought. What did the Prophet alayhi wa sallam do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidatuna Khadija radiyallahu anha, who is his wife, that give one camel and 40 goats to her. And Sayyidatuna Khadija radiyallahu anha, she was willing to sacrifice everything for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she acted upon this command. She gave one camel and 40 goats to Sayyidatuna Halima Sa'diya radiyallahu ta'ala anha. This is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fulfill the rights of his relatives and those people who had helped him in life. In another narration, Sayyiduna Amr bin Sa'ib radiallahu anhu states, and again this is regarding Sayyida Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha, and it's similar to the account mentioned earlier, that he says, once I was in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his foster father, meaning Sayyidatuna Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha's husband, arrived. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spread out a piece of his clothing for him to sit on. Then Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu anha arrived, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spread out a piece of cloth for her as well. She sat on it. Then his foster brother came. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat him in front of himself. And the Prophet alayhi salam would always send clothes and other gifts to Sayyidatuna Suwayba radiallahu anha. Who was Sayyidatuna Suwayba radiallahu anha? She was a slave girl of Abu Lahab. She looked after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a young child when he was born. And she nursed the Prophet alayhi salam for a few days. What do we learn from these accounts? That anybody who had any sort of interaction with the Prophet alayhi salam, and when he was born, they helped in any sort of way. The Prophet alayhi salam never forgot that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't one to forget favors such as these. We do, unfortunately, today. We forget. But the Prophet alayhi salam, he is our ideal. He is our role model. We have to follow him. Anybody who has any sort of ihsan upon us, who helped us in any way, we should remember that. We should respect them. And if possible, do as the Prophet alayhi salam did. The Prophet alayhi salam would send gifts regularly to these people to please their hearts, to appreciate what they did for him. And this is one way we can fulfill the rights of others. What about the foster sister? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a foster sister. Her name was Sayyidatuna Shayma radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And how would he treat her? It's narrated regarding her that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also would spread out his cloak and his shawl for her to sit on. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, his foster sister, ask, you will be given. Whatever you want, ask for it, I'll give it you. The Prophet alayhi wasallam said, intercede, your intercession will be accepted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while showing generosity to his foster sister, would shed tears. This is what's mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, if you want, you can stay with us. Happily, stay with us. It's not a burden, no problem. What's also narrated is that once when they met in Ji'rana, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gifted her goats and sheep. So in short, all those people who had a relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never forgot them. He would fulfill their rights. He would give to them. He would be generous with them. And unfortunately, that's not the case today. We need to be reminded. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The Quran says, and remind, because reminding benefits the believers. And lastly, I would like to touch upon being good towards spouses. People who are married, it shouldn't be considered as a formality, I got married and now I just continue living my life as it was before, and they treat their wife in a bad manner, consider her a slave, ma'adallah. The wives have a lot of rights as well. And in this regard, listen to a few ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. That the best amongst you is the one who is good to his family. And I am the best towards my family from amongst you. Another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is in Sahih Muslim, a believing man, a mu'min, should not consider his believing wife to be an enemy. It shouldn't be the case that in the home it's like a war scene. They're arguing, fighting, disputing to such an extent that it's having an effect on the children. The children come home and all they see is their mother and father quarreling, arguing. This has a very negative impact and effect on the child. The Prophet ﷺ said, one should not consider his wife as an enemy. And then he clarifies, he describes, he says, if he is displeased with one of her habits, then he will be pleased with another of her habits. This is what happens. the husband or the wife, works both ways. If they see one negative trait, they forget all about the other positive traits. It's like a person is blind to all the other positive things that the other person possesses. And this shouldn't be the case. When you have clean clothing on, you have white clothing on, and if there's a speck, you know, a small dot on the clothing, we don't focus and highlight on that dot and say, oh, look, this clothing which is 5.5 foot long, this piece of cloth has a small dot on there. We don't do that. And we don't forget about the rest of the clothing which is fine. But this seems like what we are doing today. We discard all the other positive traits that the person brings. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us. This is the way of his, subhanAllah, his manner of teaching. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you find a fault in your wife, that don't make that a means of becoming an enemy of hers or developing enmity in your heart towards her. Remember and think about all the other positive traits that she has as well. And it works both ways. The wife should consider that when she sees any negative thing from her husband. It's very, very important, because as you heard right at the beginning, the matter of huququl ibad is significant in Islam. That if you're not fulfilling the rights of your parents, your spouse, your children, then that could work against you on the Day of Judgment. We've already heard the hadith of Sahih Muslim, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, manil muflis, who is the destitute, the poor person? What was the reply given? The reply given was, the destitute is the one who comes on the Day of Judgment, he's performed salah throughout his life. He's given zakat, he's fasted, but at the same time he hurled abuse at others. He made false accusations against others. He hit someone. Basically, the Prophet ﷺ told us that a person, bazahir, apparently could seem like he's very religious, or he's accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is the criteria? That if he is doing all of these wrong things as well, then how is that going to benefit him? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described and said, that person who violated someone's right will have to give his good deeds to them on the Day of Judgment. Imagine that scene. Everybody is there. You have to hand over your good deeds that you spend time and effort doing. And if your deeds finish, your good deeds finish, and you have still not fulfilled those rights, it may be multiple people whose rights we have violated, al-'ayyadu billah, then what will happen? If our good deeds run out, we're told in the hadith that that person's sins, the other person whose right violated, their sins will be placed on our shoulders. So to save ourselves from this huge embarrassment of Yawmul Qiyamah, disgrace, humiliation, what should we do? In this dunya, we should ask forgiveness from all those people whose rights we had violated. And this has even become tough for us, unfortunately. We can't even utter a few words, sincerely go to someone and say, look, forgive me for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our own parents as well. Some people, they fall out with their parents, and then for the rest of their life, they don't even speak to their parents. What's this? A Muslim should focus on the Akhirah. Realize you will be taken to account for all of this. This is our foundational aqidah that we are going to rise on the Day of Judgment. We have to answer. Justice will be served. And when you ask someone for forgiveness, your job is done. And then the other person is upon him to forgive. He should forgive. Because in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam mentioned that if you ask someone for forgiveness and they don't forgive you, and this is tawbih, this is a way of rebuking the other person, that if you don't forgive the one who's asking for forgiveness, then don't come to the pond of Kawthar. Don't come to Kawthar on the Day of Judgment. Meaning that person will not be allowed. So, if someone's asking you for forgiveness, you should realize that he has actually made great effort to come to me, lowered himself, and now he's asking for forgiveness. What I should do is forgive him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know on the Day of Judgment, it's a lengthy hadith, I won't mention it, but just touch upon it, that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reconcile between people. Allah ta'ala will carry out sulh between people who are fallen out with each other. And Allah ta'ala will grant them admittance into Jannah, in paradise. So in this world, whilst we're alive and breathing, ensure that we are fulfilling the rights of others, whether that's our parents, our spouse, children, relatives, blood relatives, colleagues, friends. Do not usurp anyone's rights, because that will come back to haunt us. And if somebody has violated your right, what should your mindset be? Especially if they come to you asking for forgiveness. Ya Allah, this person is asking me forgiveness. I will forgive him for your pleasure as well. And this is what we should do. Unfortunately, it's become a situation where we're even teaching our children this, that if you fall out with someone, or if I fall out with someone, then you have to be their enemy as well. And it happens when especially husband and wife fall out. Husband and wife separate, for example. Then all sorts of plots take place. The father is trying his hardest to make sure that the kids dislike the mother. The mother is trying her hardest to instill hatred in the heart of the child for the father. This shouldn't be the case. Islamically, if this unfortunate situation occurred, where husband and wife have split up and they have children, remember the child, the rights of the father are binding upon him as well as the rights of the mother. He has no right to take sides in this situation. That's still his father, that's still his mother. And we have to think, we have to realize this. And inshallah, when we act upon Islamic teachings, then no matter the situation, we will always keep the Sharia, the parameters of the Sharia in mind. And in this manner, we will save ourselves from sinning and violating the rights of others. So Huquq al-Ibad we touched upon today, very, very important. Allah Ta'ala will not forgive a person for taking the rights of another unless the other person forgives first. This is what Allah Ta'ala has ordained. This is the authority Allah has given to an abd, a slave of his. May Allah Jalla wa'ala grant us all tawfiq to fulfill all rights that are binding upon us and to wholeheartedly ask for forgiveness if we have ever taken the right of anybody. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.